Good morning. Would you bow with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning, and we especially thank you for the rain this week. We ask you to bless these people as they give their money to do your work, and bless the money as it does your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our lives a living sacrifice. acceptable to you. We cannot be content until we reach that place. How little we have given up to you. Lord, break down our will and make desires your own. We long to give our everything to you. Make our lives a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that we can do. Make our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Make our lives a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that we can do. Make our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you.
It's an honor to be able to greet you and welcome you and invite you to worship in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on such a beautiful day. And we thank the James family for setting the tone for us for the remainder of this service. For the purpose of our website and recording, I will identify those involved in the service this morning. My name is Dan Shear. Our invocation will be by Deacon Jared Ellis. Our closing prayer will be by Elder Larry Ellis. Our speaker is Brother Elder Richard Sanders. I know he needs no introduction to you. Him and his family are very involved in our branch, and I look forward to this morning, and I have felt it a privilege and honor to be able to know Brother Richard and his family, and I have appreciated his counsel and advice over the many years and would ask for your prayers on his behalf this morning. Our ministry music is by the James family, and they're from the Zarahemla branch, and we welcome them and thank them for coming and sharing. And our pianist this morning is Peggy Shear. For an invitation to worship, I'd like to share with you from the third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 53. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let us continue with the singing of hymn number 26. 26. Will you stand?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the state you've given us, and please be with us as we hear the spoken word this morning. Please be with us so that we will feel your spirit, and please help us to understand what Richard is meaning. And I ask that you be with everyone today, and I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
My scripture reading this morning will come out of the book of Mosiah. Second chapter, starting in verse 9. Going to 28. And I say unto you, if you've come to the knowledge of goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of his mortal body, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world, for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation, save this which have been spoken. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe in all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and received remissions of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards your unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of an angel. Behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain remission of your sins. And you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of them that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peacefully, and to render every man according to that which is his due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that you transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also you yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will minister of your substance unto him that standeth in need.
Master,
Messiah, mighty God and King, O bread of life, lasting words of love that I see. Light and darkness go to heaven, our home in the sky, the fountain of living waters that never shall run dry. And the angel called him a Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him a Jesus, but I call him Lord. And the angel called him a
Good morning. I don't think I've probably ever been accused of not sharing personal aspects of my life when I'm up here, and I think today is going to be no different. So I pray that the lessons I've learned that will be helpful to others. First off, I'd like to start by saying that the opening scripture that I read in Mosiah, I 100% believe everything I read. The good news is that God created everything. God created everything we see, everything we don't see. And He created that for us. And He created that we might, through our probationary state, have the opportunity to come to know Him and to accept that gift that He gave us, which was His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. And if we'll accept that gift, then we can have the hope for salvation. And I also believe, as later on in the scriptures, in that scripture it talked about in 26, neither will he suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one another and serve the devil. I also believe that the devil is a real entity, and I believe that he seeks nothing more than to destroy the saints. He seeks nothing more to cause division and cause hard feelings and cause contentions in our church and in our families. And he would love nothing better for us to just keep fighting and dividing and until there's nothing left. That is his goal. So today, we want to talk a little bit about Satan and what he does. It's been a rough few months, 6 months, for me and my wife. We've had some struggles. And it's come to my realization that it was the adversary seeking to cause problems. I'm going to back up for just a second. I have been blessed many times in my life to feel the Spirit of God. Probably most of those times I probably wasn't deserving to feel that Spirit, but for whatever reason, the Lord sought fit to let me feel His presence. And I've cherished every one of those times and hope I have many more to come. I have also twice in my life have felt the presence of the adversary. And both times it was made known to me that he sought to destroy me. And having said that, he also, I'm sure there's a lot of times that I haven't felt his presence, that he's been involved in not only trying to destroy me, but also trying to destroy others. We started Saints Haven several years ago. We came out of some contention and some division. And I know for me personally, I was very weary when we finally decided to make the split. And we formed the Garage Church. And we met there, and the Lord blessed us. And we had an outpouring of the Spirit. And our motto, kind of, I guess, would be Matthew 11:29. Then spake Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's what we needed. That's what I needed at the time. We kind of rallied the troops together and focused on spiritual things in life, and we took our rest, and we were blessed. And our numbers grew, and we moved back down to Atherton, and we continue to have great services, and we continue to be blessed, and we continued still to have an outpouring of the Spirit. And then we came here, and the same things have transpired, and we're still, as I look around, there's many faces that weren't with us when we first left Atherton and formed the little garage church, and we have been blessed by that. Others have come in and have blessed our body. And we've had, and I'm not saying this to try to build us up or pat us on the back or say that we've done a great job or anything like that, but I say it as a warning to you that because of the success we've had of this branch, Satan seeks to destroy us. Satan seeks to cause division among us. And I personally, over the last 6 months or so, have been under assault. And I know, and it's not from anything that I have not done, because I have been weak and I have not been doing the things that I needed to do. And I've allowed Satan to take that foothold into my life. But he has been active. And he's been active in our branch in subtle ways. And so that's why today I feel it is appropriate that we take time to study a little bit about what the adversary does and have scriptural references and see the devices that he uses so that we can battle against him. As I said, we formed our branch, Saints Haven, so that we could have rest. It's been 4 years, four or something years, somewhere around there, 4 or 5 years. And I think it's time now that the resting stops and that we put on our armor and we go back to battle. Because Satan is alive and well in our world. And Satan is winning many battles. And he's winning many battles because good people don't act. And so it's time that we put our armor back on, and instead of being Saints Haven, maybe be Saints Army and take the fight back. The adversary is very cunning. He's had a long time to perfect his crafts. I don't know what everybody here does. Whatever you do, the first day you did it, you're not as good as you are now, right? You've gotten better in your jobs and your careers and the things that you do. Dan, I'm sure the first time he picked up a paintbrush wasn't as skillful as he is now. And the same thing with Satan. But Satan has had a very long time to perfect his craft. He has been from the beginning seeking to destroy mankind, seeking to destroy our agency, seeking to bind us and drag us down to that awful place. And so he's had a very long time to perfect what he does. And in 2 Corinthians 2:11 it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Well, if we are ignorant of his devices, then he will get an advantage over us. So we need to know what his devices are. And I'm going to read now out of 2 Nephi. Chapter 12, starting in verse 20. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day they are fully ripe with in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, the great and abominable church, the whore of the whole of the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and that which belongs to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls, and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away, and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears, until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. They are grasped with death and hell and the devil, and all that have seized therewith must stand before the throne of God, and must be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. So that passage of scriptures right there gives us a lot of his devices that he uses. Some of us, some of the people in the world, some of us, he stirs us to anger. He stirs us up into reviling against that which is good. None of us like to be called to repentance. None of us likes our sins to be talked about. But we can choose to take that as good, that God is calling us to repentance, that we need to change things in our lives, or we can allow Satan to whisper in our ear and revile us up to anger and make us angry to that which is good. So that's one group of people that he can use his devices on. And others he pacifies and lulls them away into carnal security, that they say all is well in Zion. And there's another group of people. You know, people that are probably, I don't know, I won't say well off, but people that have all the comforts of the world and aren't too worried about the spiritual side of it. Those are the kind of people that I could see him lulling away into pacifying them into thinking that all is well. He deceives them and cheats their souls and carries them down. And others he deceives by just saying that he doesn't even exist. There's a lot of people that don't. A lot of people that think that Satan doesn't exist. There's a lot of people that have been deceived. I've heard people say, "Oh, Satan's not real. That's just a bunch of stories to help teach children." And so he has a lot of different tools he can use. Lots of different ways he approaches us to deceive us. In Matthew 12:21, another one of his big division, one of his big tools is division, if he can cause division. Matthew 12:21, Jesus said, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and then shall his kingdom stand." So that's one of Satan's biggest tools he tries to use. He wants to divide us. And there's lots of ways he tries to divide us. He starts by husband and wives. If he can destroy that bond between a husband and wife, and by division, his ultimate goal is, one, to make us weaker, But also by division, there's usually fighting and contention, and then people are lost. People stop going to church. People stop worshiping, and people stop because they're so caught up, their hearts are hardened, and they're so caught up in the battle that they forget about their Savior. And so if he can get husband and wives to fight and get husbands and wives to be divided, then that's going to affect the children. That's going to affect the whole family. And so it's not just that he's trying to attack the marriage covenant or the marriage. He's also trying to affect the children. So he'll use as many, many devices to try to divide husband and wives. And he's also, like I said, he's very crafty and cunning. He can read not our thoughts, but he can read our life. He can study our lives and see the things that tempt us and the things that can cause division and husbands and wives. I'm trying to think of me and my wife. I don't say we never fight or argue. It happens occasionally, but right now I can't think of anything in particular. But I know there's times where maybe I'm watching a football game or doing something, and I don't see it as a problem. But my wife wants to spend time with me, or my wife wants me to do something, and Satan will use that situation. He'll manipulate that situation if we allow him to, where the wife will begin to get angry and maybe say something to the husband, and then the husband gets angry because I work all week. I can sit here and watch a football game if I want to. And so that's how he does it. He starts pitting you against each other. And like I said, the consequences of that, if it's allowed to continue and allowed to go on, is it'll begin to affect the children. And then another area that he likes to attack is parents to children. He likes to divide us and put possibly some disrespect maybe in the children's hearts, and maybe the parents don't handle that the best way, and pretty soon you have division. He's accomplished his goal. Children are not feeling great. Parents are upset, and he's caused some division. And in Jacob, Jacob 2:45, there's an example of that. And this is when I read this scripture, it really hit home for me. Ye have broken the hearts of your tender wives and lost the confidence of your children because of your bad examples before them, and their sobbings of their hearts ascend up to God against you. And because of the strictness of the word of God, which cometh down against you, many hearts died, pierced with deep wounds. But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. So as parents, when we don't respond properly, as husbands, as priesthood members, you know, we can cause a lot of damage in our own families. We can hurt the tender hearts of our wives and be bad examples for our children, and then they don't have that example that they need in their young lives. They have enough in the world trying to draw them away from God and from church, and we don't need to be adding to that by our actions. Another thing, another way he likes to cause division is if he can get families fighting. If he can get my family to not be happy with something the Bates family did, and we don't go to them and try to reconcile that, and then we're in our family and we're, man, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did whatever. And then that just allows Satan a foothold in, and then our hearts begin to start hardening. And I'm going to talk a lot about our hearts being hardened. And then on the other side, they do the same thing. Oh, I can't believe the Sanders, they're just being unreasonable or whatever. And pretty soon we start having camps, and then usually that'll affect other families. We all worship together and we all love each other, but we don't have the same group of friends that we influence. And so if he can get a couple families going at it, then it can cause a lot of damage in a congregation, cause a lot of hurt feelings, and And all these things are little subtle things that maybe something happens and we can forgive it and we can move on, and then something else happens and Satan reminds us, hey, they already offended you once. And you might be able to forgive them and move on, and then something else happens, and pretty soon your heart just starts hardening a little each time. Before you know it, your heart is hard. And that's where my struggle has come. I felt offended. And I let things go and Satan wasn't content with just letting things go. And some other things happened and I came to the realization this week. Me and my wife have talked several times over the last couple months about we couldn't figure out what was different. Couldn't figure out why we weren't coming to Saints Haven and feeling the Spirit anymore. Couldn't figure out why we were struggling so much to even come and sit in the pews. And it's because I had a hard heart. The Spirit couldn't get in because those offenses I'd allowed to fester, and although I had forgiven things that had gone on, Satan was always there reminding me. Remember last time? Remember what happened last time? And over the course of a period of time, I now recognize that my heart was hardening. And it's been Satan's cunning. It came from a lot of different things, a lot of different angles, a lot of different people, a lot of different things were said. I'm going to jump to the end because it kind of all. Alan asked me a couple months ago to preach, and supposed to preach last month, and something got moved for some reason. I don't even remember what it was, but somebody else couldn't come. Anyways, it got moved to this month. So I've known for a couple months, and I've really struggled because I wasn't feeling the Spirit. I wasn't feeling, I was praying about it and I was trying to seek out and I don't know how many of you are here for Sunday school. I wasn't even here for Sunday school because I was at home and I was still just frantically praying and trying to figure out what I was going to talk about today, and I kind of had an idea but I didn't know for sure and I was struggling and probably about 15 minutes before I finally left, it all kind of came together for me in a moment when I read this scripture. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It's in Ephesians 4:26. It says, "Can ye be angry and not sin? Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." That's what we do when we hold on to our anger and hold on to our offenses and hold on to those things in our lives that we shouldn't be holding on to. We allow Satan to have a place. We allow him to work his will. Other areas that he wants to, and like I said, a lot of this stuff that he does to draw us away from him, to draw people away from him. Another big thing he does is congregation versus congregation. We left Atherton because we didn't get along over the JCRB, and now there's congregations out there that won't Brian and Milena are attending Oak Grove, and right now they will not recognize his priesthood because he was ordained in a JCRB sponsoring church. And that is a sad way to be when we're so worried about our differences that we won't allow people to who have been called of God to function in their priesthood. But we see that a lot in our history and our presence, where congregations are pitted against congregation because we want to focus on our differences instead of on our similarities, on the things that we hold in common. If we would focus on the things that we hold in common with all manners of churches, not just Restoration, not just Book of Mormon believing, those things that we identify that we want to work with, if we could find a way to work with all branch, all congregations, all churches, all... Satan has done a good job of dividing Christianity. Not just the RLDS, the Restoration. He has worked for centuries to divide the Christian faith. And we have to, at some point, God will restore us all. But we have a duty to begin to reach out and try to make bridges where we can. Me and Stacy, since we've adopted a few kids from China, there's a congregation we found down in Warrensburg that's, we call it the Chinese Church. I don't know what their official name is, but they meet in the basement of one of the professors there at CMSU. And we go there, and we understand that they don't have the gospel that we have. And we understand that they don't even have priesthood authority. And we understand that from their understanding, there's been a time where a woman spoke from the pulpit. And the way we have discussed that is it's like a class to us. We go into a class. We know she doesn't have priesthood authority. We know that none of the men who speak have priesthood authority. But they are doing, with what they have, their knowledge, they're doing the best they can. They are reaching a body of Asians that attend CMSU that probably in no other way would have even the part of the gospel that's being brought to them. So should we condemn them because they don't have the fullness? Should we not be part of them because they don't believe in the Book of Mormon? My son Seth, who, if anybody has got to know him, is a great kid. We love him dearly. We can see a difference when we sit in that church because they are speaking the gospel in his native language of Chinese. And that's why we go there. We need to focus more on what we have in common than what we have differences. And I'm not saying that we don't have a special gospel. I'm not saying that we don't have the priesthood authority and that we should take every opportunity to share those things. But I am saying that we need to be careful that we don't offend other denominations because we're right, we have it, you need to listen to us. Because there's a lot of people in this world that don't have an opportunity to sit in a Book of Mormon believing church on Sundays. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have the opportunity to sit under somebody who has priesthood authority. And so we need to be careful that we're not causing harm to others. And we also have to be careful in the things we do. Like I said, Satan uses these tools to try to draw people away from him. know, how many have been lost? You know, Saints back to Atherton and before that and whatever church we split from the RLDS church in the 80s. How many people, I guarantee, know everybody here probably knows people that have been lost as we've divided. People that just said, that's enough. I don't need this anymore. I'm just going to stay home on Sundays. We have, again, not to be prideful, we of Saints Haven have brought some of those people back that have been lost. And so we need to be careful. Satan uses, I work in construction, deliver sheetrock, and there's a big, big, big mega church over off 143rd and, I've lost my mind, 143rd Metcalf. And it's, I don't know how many, probably 5,000-6,000 members used to attend there. And Satan put it in the heart of the pastor for greed, and him and his wife fled with $13 million. That congregation is no more. It's an empty building. The Blue Valley School District has bought it, and they're turning it into an elementary school. So how many of those people probably were lost because of the greed of one man? And that's what I'm trying to point out today, is that we need to be aware that Satan seeks to destroy us so that our actions don't affect others. Look at the Catholic Church. How many souls have been lost because of that mess with the priest and all the things that have been going on? And the sad thing is, it doesn't just affect the ones that are immediately involved, but as it goes through the news and it goes out, others are affected. More people lose their faith, and people that were not believers to begin with, it's going to be that much harder to win them. Another thing, which I've kind of talked a little bit about, that Satan uses is pride. 2 Nephi. Starting in verse 3. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up are not unto the Lord, when the one shall say unto the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches and are not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with all their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel, and they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept, for if they shall say, There is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord. Believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. Yea, and they shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which will say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify us in committing a little sin. Yea, little, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for the neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, there shall be many which shall teach after these manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord. And their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of thy way, they have become corrupted. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrines, their churches have been corrupted. And their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are puffed up. Pride is another thing that we need to be really careful of. Like I said, we have the fullness of the doctrine. We have the fullness of the gospel, and we have priesthood authority. But if we become prideful in that, we can do a lot of harm. We can do turn a lot of people off. We kind of already have an uphill battle when it comes to the rest of the Christian world. So we need not go out of our way to make it harder on ourselves. I had forgot a little testimony I was going to give when we were talking about the different churches and working together. You know, me and Stacy, and I'm not going to talk a lot about adoption because it's not what it's about, but when we were going through our last adoption, we were doing some fundraising and applied for some grants, and we had a Christian organization contact us and said that they were going to award us a grant, was going to award us a grant to help us with our adoption, but then they found out that we believed in the Book of Mormon and that we were no longer considered Christians, and so they would not be giving us a grant. And that's the kind of things that can happen when we want to focus. And I sent them an email and tried to be, I wasn't confrontational. My wife can attest to that. I sent him an email and said, well, thanks for, you know, the ministry you do. You know, we appreciate it. And basically that we wish that you would not focus on our differences, but focus on our similarities, and that, you know, the Book of Mormon only is nest, you know, blah, blah, blah. And thank them again for their consideration and signed off with your brother in Christ. And we never heard anything else back from them. But those are the kind of things that Satan wants. Satan wants us to divide ourselves and put each other in groups and do those things. The plan of salvation, Christ died on the cross for me. Christ died on the cross for Richard Sanders. I firmly believe that if everybody else was lost in the entire world, he would still would have died just for me. I believe that. I believe he values and loves us so much that he's a very personal God, and that he loves us to the extent that he would die on the cross for us. But I also believe that God is smarter than I am. I also believe that God is smarter than all of us. And I also believe that God would not set up a way to salvation that excluded the majority of the people. I believe that even though there's a lot of branches, a lot of churches out there that don't have our priesthood authority, I believe that because of God's grace and his love, that a lot of those people are going to be saved. I believe that he is not going to set up a situation where only Book of Mormon believing people are going to be in Zion. I believe that his grace is sufficient enough that the people that are in Chinese church in Warrensburg that may have never even heard of the Book of Mormon and they're doing everything they can will be blessed for that. And I believe that they'll be taught at some point, and that the fullness of the gospel will be presented to them as we have been blessed to be born into it. And I think that we get in a dangerous situation when we start trying to divide. 2 Nephi 1, 119, 1, I won't read the whole thing. I like that one. Let's read that one. 2 Nephi 1. This is, I like scriptures that involve choosing. And this is one. 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 119. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient to man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments, and be faithful unto his words, and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein. So we just like from the beginning of time, we have our agency. We can choose life or death. But one thing we have to do in choosing life is we need to be, and like I've stated already, life failed in, we need to be vigilant in our studies and vigilant so we can identify the adversary and the things that he does in our lives and the way that he tries to destroy us and destroy our families and our friends. What's the answer? Well, I found a few in the scriptures. Ephesians 4:26. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I already read that one. That's the one about being angry. So there's one there. Don't be angry. If somebody offends you, go talk to them. Go resolve the situation. And don't be angry. And also, on the other hand, on the other side of that is don't be somebody that causes somebody to be angry. We all have different callings. Like I said, I wasn't going to talk about adoption, and so I won't. And I won't talk about what other callings are, but I don't think it is ever okay to offend somebody because of your calling. If you have a calling and you're so forceful with it that you're offending people, I don't think you're living up to what you're being called to do. In James 4:7, we're told, this is another way we can win. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if we just resist the devil, resist the temptations in our life, resist those things that are not good, he will flee from us. And then finally, in 1 Nephi chapter 7, in verse 51. Yea, and fine, all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil are they who need fear and tremble and quake. They are those who must be brought low in the dust. They are those who must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And this is the biggest thing we can do. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power. I truly hope that nobody has been offended today. I truly hope that I have sufficiently explained where I was coming from, that everybody understands that this was a time in my life that I was sharing with you that hopefully will help others. I was not in any way today, was I trying to point fingers? Was I trying to cast aspersions or trying to, you know, offend anybody? That was not my goal. My goal here was to share the time I've spent in battle, fully aware that it was because of I allowed those things to transpire, allow those things in my life, but I also want everybody to understand that there's not Satan. Like I said, is very cunning, and we need to be careful when we're talking to people, talking to each other, and we need to be a righteous people where Satan has no power over us. We need to all be aware that he is there. He seeks to destroy us all. He wants us to contend with each other. He wants us to fight with each other. He wants us to do all those things because that gives him a foothold, and then he can go from there to do more damage. And so if we can focus on the scriptures and our Heavenly Father and be that righteous people that he has no power over us, then we don't have to worry about it.
We all recognize there's a battle going on. We've all read the books and we know who is victorious. And we're just trying to decide which side we're going to be on. So hopefully we'll be on that side of victory. A mighty fortress is our God. Hymn 475. Will you stand?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the words that our brother has brought us here this day. And please be with us as we review our lives of how we deal with one another and those things that we have in our lives, that we might always seek to do the right thing, to do those things which Thou hast commanded of us, to believe on You and Thy Son. Please go with us and watch over and protect us, that the evil one would have no place within our lives. We do thank Thee so much for the blessings that Thou hast given unto us, and for watching over and for caring for us, and for that daily protection that Thou hast afforded unto us. Be with us that we may be safe. For we do love Thee, Lord, and we do wish to serve Thee. In Thy Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.